The theme this month is Come and See Past the Jordan. And tonight's message is God Will Make a Way. We'll be reading from Joshua chapter 3 in just a little bit. But first I want to give you a brief historical overview. Okay, so God had promised to give the children of Israel the land of the Canaanites, the promised land west of the Jordan. It was His promise to them. We're going to pick it up in Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. So God had given a promise to them that He was going to give them this promised land west of the Jordan River. So the Israelites were camped at Chittim on the east side of the river. And the promised land was over there. Right? So between where they were camped and the promised land stood this river, the Jordan River. Not just the Jordan River, but an overflowing Jordan River, which represented an obstacle on the way to possessing the land God had for the Israelites. You know, humanly speaking, it was impossible for this large group of Israelites to get across this overflowing river. But God made a way. God has always made a way. God still makes a way, and He will make a way in the future. Is that good news here tonight? Yeah. Remember what I just said, between the fulfillment of the promise, of the promised land, and the Israelites was this Jordan River, this overflowing river. But God made a way miraculously. Tonight we're going to read from Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Chittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Verse 4. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before, but keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things amongst you. Joshua said to the priests, verse 6, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. What was God saying to Joshua? He was saying, I am going to give you credibility in the eyes of the Israelites by the miracle I'm about to perform. I'm about to show the Israelites that my authority is with you, Joshua, by the miracle that I am about to perform. And tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. Verse 9. Now from verse 9 to verse 13, he's giving them a message. An encouraging message. Joshua 2, this large group of Israelites who are about to cross this Jordan River into the promised land. So here's the message, verse 9 of Joshua 3. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is amongst you, and that He will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites, and I would say all the ites, right? See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. This is important. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. What did the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord represent? It represented the presence of God, and where the presence of the Lord is, there is the power of God. There is the supernatural, miraculous working power of God. He was telling them, the presence of the Lord will go ahead of you to make a way through this Jordan River, this overflowing Jordan River. God is going to do a miracle before your very eyes. Verse 12, now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So, in verses 9 through 13, Joshua is telling this large group of Israelites the miracle that God is about to do for them. And here's the miracle, verses 14 through 17. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a huge heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Verse 17, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry land. Remember what I said earlier, God made a promise to give them the land west of the Jordan, right? They were camped in Chittim on the east of the Jordan. There was a Jordan in front of them, an obstacle, an overflowing Jordan. Now, verse 15 is a verse I want to concentrate on tonight, and I want to talk about for a few minutes. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. It's at flood stage all during harvest. There was the time of barley harvest in the spring, maybe around April. And around that time, the waters of the Jordan are just overflowing. They are fast moving. Fast moving. And God chose this time of the year to perform the miracle of cutting off the waters. I think He chose this time of the year to show the greatness of His miracle working power. Because He can cut off the waters of a calm river. But to cut off the waters of a fast-moving, overflowing river shows the greatness of His miracle-working power. He wanted to show them how amazing, how spectacular His miracle-working power is. And so what did God do? As soon as the feet of the priests who were holding the ark touched the edge of the Jordan River piled up in a large heap near a town called Adam, north of them. And the flow was cut off from Adam to the Dead Sea, to the Salt Sea. And so there was a dry channel that God created, about 18 miles wide, so that this large group of Israelites could cross from where they were on the eastern side to the western side opposite Jericho. We serve a miracle-working God. Amen? Humanly speaking, it was absolutely impossible for this large group of Israelites to cross a fast-moving, overflowing Jordan River. Humanly speaking, it just was not possible at all. But with God, all things are possible. God will make a way through the overflowing and fast-moving Jordan River in our lives. When people are telling you there is no way, or family and friends and the naysayers are saying there is no way that this good thing can happen in your life, tell them God can make a way. God can create a dry channel through the overflowing Jordan in my life, in your life, so that we can pass over safely to the promise that He has given for us. So my question tonight is this: what promise has God given you? What promise has God given to you in your life personally? Is it maybe for a higher financial wage, and maybe you've been loyal to your employer, and he's promised you a higher financial wage, and you've been waiting a month, or 5 months, 6 months, and you're like, the higher wage has not come. Inflation is out of hand, my bills are going up, and my wage is staying the same. And then maybe you receive an unexpected bill that maybe wipes out your bank account, and you're like, man, this is an overflowing, fast-moving Jordan event in my life. But I'm here to tell you tonight, don't focus on that distraction, on that unexpected bill, on waiting for the miracle. Focus on God and His promise. Because God will make a way where people say there is no way possible. With God, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
Certain things you've got to do in the natural too. You've got to be loyal. You've got to be faithful to your employer. But don't focus on the distraction. Like, man, the economy's just out of control. Or focus on the distraction of that unexpected bill. Focus on God. Focus on the promise that He has given you. And He will cut a dry channel through the overflowing Jordan in your life. Amen?
Amen.
As the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of the Israelites, God will go ahead of you to make a way through your overflowing Jordan. The presence of God is with you. As God made you a promise concerning health, maybe He's told you that He's going to give you good health and wholeness in your body. And maybe you've got something wrong. Maybe it's high blood pressure. And maybe God has promised that He would normalize that high blood pressure situation. And then you find out, let alone the high blood pressure, you find out that you've been diagnosed maybe with diabetes or another terminal illness, and you're like, my goodness, those are distractions, friends. You're like, man, this Jordan is overflowing in my life. I've got high blood pressure, now I've got diabetes. When is this going to stop? And it's just overflowing and fast moving in your life, and you know that God has given you the promise that He would give you wholeness and health, friends. I'm here to tell you tonight, don't focus on that distraction. Focus on God, focus on His promise, and He will make a way through the fast moving, the overflowing Jordan in your life so that you can get safely into the promise that He has given you. Amen? There are certain things you've got to do in the natural. Diet, exercise, and so forth. Maybe a broken relationship. Maybe someone has separated themselves from you. Maybe somebody divorced himself or herself from you and you're brokenhearted. But God has promised you that He would reconcile that relationship. Let alone that broken relationship, and you find out that you've lost two other friendships, and you're distracted. You're like, man, this Jordan is becoming more overflowing in my life. This person left me. Two other people left me. This Jordan is fast moving in my life. This Jordan is overflowing in my life. But I'm here to tell you tonight, don't look at the distraction. Don't look at that overflowing Jordan. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on the promise that God has given to you. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God will make a way where others say there is no way. He can cut a dry channel through that Jordan River in your life and bring you safely into the promise He has given you. Amen? God is amongst us. Don't keep telling God how big your Jordan River is. Start telling your Jordan River how big your God is. Tell that overflowing, fast-moving Jordan how big your God is, how much bigger your God is than it. Where people say there's no way, where the naysayers say there's no way, where the media and the internet is telling you there's no way possible that you'll get ahead financially. There's no way possible you'll receive wholeness in your life. There's no way possible, humanly speaking, that relationship in your life can be reconciled. You say, you know what? God is able in my life to make a way. He can make a way through the overflowing Jordan in my life and give me the promise that He has given me. Amen?
Amen?
So tonight, I want to talk about a A New Testament example here quickly. Let me put this down. One example here from the New Testament of a lady. I've preached on this before, but it bears repeating here tonight. Mark chapter 5. How many here remember the woman with the issue of blood? The woman with the issue of blood.
Yeah.
All right. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. She grew worse. Instead of getting better, she grew worse. So she had, it seems like from this passage that she had hope that she would get better, and hence she was spending money on the doctors. But instead of getting better, she grew worse. She grew worse. This was an overflowing, fast-moving Jordan situation in her life. A humanly speaking, impossible situation. There was nothing the doctors could do. For the doctors, there was no way, but God said, I can make a way. And so she heard about Jesus, the miracle worker. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Free from her suffering. There was an overflowing Jordan event in her life. A humanly, naturally speaking, impossible situation in her life. But we serve a God. We serve a God who takes humanly speaking impossible situations and makes them possible again. We serve a miracle working God. The God who did the miracle across the Jordan River for the Israelites 2,000 years ago is the same God, or thousands of years ago, is the same God that we serve today. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Jesus, God the Son, who dried up this woman's issue of blood, the miracle worker, is the same Jesus that rules and reigns upon the throne of our hearts. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who dried up the Jordan River, or cut off the flow of the Jordan River thousands of years ago, is the same God who could cut off the flow of this overflowing Jordan River in your life today, so that you can get safely into the promised land that He has prepared for you. She heard about Jesus, the miracle worker. She was focused on Him in faith. He made a way through her overflowing Jordan and healed her body. Miraculously. What are you facing tonight, friends? What are you facing tonight? God is able to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
We serve a God who can do a 180 in your life for the better. He's done it in the past in Scripture. He can do it today in our lives. What does it take for God to make a way in our lives miraculously? It takes faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If it's impossible to please God without faith, to me it says that with faith it is possible to please God. So we're going to go back to the faith of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. Remember when he was given the address in Joshua chapter 3, verses 9 through 13? This is what he says. He tells the people, as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. He was speaking in faith. He knew that he knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that the waters would be cut off. They would stand up in a heap. He didn't say the waters may be cut off, or they could be cut off, or possibly they'll be cut off and stand up in a heap. He said, the waters, what did he say? The waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Joshua was a man of faith. That's what faith is. It's knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God will do for you what He has promised He will do for you. Joshua just knew that he knew deep down on the inside that God was going to cut a dry channel through the Jordan River so that the Israelites, this large group of Israelites, could cross over dry land into the promised land that God had for them. He just knew it that he knew it, and he was inspiring and building up the faith of the Israelites that were listening to him. He was inspiring their faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you in the word of God? You want your faith to be built up? You've got to be listening to the word of God, just like these Israelites were listening to the words of God coming from Joshua's mouth. It's not good enough to get into the word of God once or twice a year, maybe at Easter and Christmas. You've got to be getting into the word of God on a consistent basis. What you read forms the way you think and believe. Why not read the greatest book in the world, the Word of God, on a consistent basis, meditating on it and letting it build up your faith on the inside so that you can receive the promise that God has for you? That's what Joshua said. He said, as soon as the feet of the priests who are carrying the ark touch the edge of the Jordan water, the waters will be cut off. He never said they may be cut off. They will be cut off. He was speaking in faith. And he was inspiring and building up the faith of the people that were listening to him. Build up your faith by getting into the word of God. And then the bleeding woman in Mark chapter 5. The bleeding woman. What happened there? What happened in that situation? Once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, he turned around at the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." How is your faith in God tonight, friends? How is your faith in God tonight? Is your faith in God strong here tonight? You got to have faith like Joshua had. You've got to have faith like the people he was speaking to had. And they did something with their faith. Once God cut the dry channel, what did they do? They started moving towards it and crossing on dry land. What did the woman in Mark chapter 5 do? She put action to her faith. She did something. She reached out. She reached out. She knew that Jesus could heal her. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and did what? She touched his cloak. She took action. Friends, you've got to take action. You've got to have faith. Faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding action is dead. It's not alive. But faith with corresponding action is alive. So you're believing for greater finances, right? Continue being faithful to your employer. Show up on time. Leave late. You're believing for health in your body. You're believing that God can do it, that He can give you the promise of wholeness and health in your body. Well, there may be some things you have to do in the natural. You may have to change up your diet. You may have to exercise more. You know, you may be believing for a reconciled relationship. Maybe God has promised you a reconciled relationship in your life. Guess what? You're going to have to do something in the natural. You may have to be kinder to people. Start reaching out to people, giving them phone calls, writing them. You know, reaching out to them when they're in a time of need. There's something you have got to do in the natural with your faith. And the Israelites and Joshua were moving. They were putting action to their faith. And they crossed across dry land into the promised land opposite Jericho. The woman with the issue of blood, She did something with her faith. She stretched out her hand and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. I'm going to read you something here tonight real quick. See if I could find it here. Yes. All right. This is from the Preacher's Sourcebook of Creative Sermon Illustrations. Has he said, and will he not do it? The Protestant Reformation, which began in 1517, produced virtually no church-sent missionaries until two Moravians, Leonard Dober and David Nitschmann, were commissioned on August 18, 1732, in an unforgettable service in which 100 hymns were sung. They soon left Herrnhut for Copenhagen, seeking passage to the islands. But Copenhagen proved unfriendly, and the two men were pelted with obstacles. One disappointment followed another, and much opposition arose to their mission. No one would help them. No ship would take them. Their morale sank. At that critical moment, Numbers 23:19 turned up in their daily devotional book. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Inspired by these words, Dober and Nitschmann determined to persevere, believing that God would fulfill what he had started through them. A handful of people in Copenhagen began helping them, and the tide of public opinion turned. Two royal chaplains lent their support, and even the Queen of Denmark encouraged them. Princess Charlotte contributed financially. A court official secured passage for them on a Dutch ship. And on October 8th, 1732, they sailed for the West Indies, opening the modern era of missions. The Lord had spoken to them, and they had believed that he would make it good. Let's turn to one last scripture tonight. Numbers. I like that scripture. Numbers 23, verse 19. This goes for all of us. It applies so beautifully. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? What has God promised you? He is not a man that he should lie. God is faithful. God has got your back, and he will make good on his word. And remember this, and if it doesn't happen on this side, God's promise will become real to you on the heaven side. You will have complete health in your body. You will have financial provision. No financial worries anymore. No economy to worry about anymore. And you will have reconciled relationships. You'll be in harmony with everybody. So don't get down on yourself if it's not happening to you on this side of eternity. For his promise will be fulfilled in your life. If not here, then there in heaven. Is that good news here tonight? We want it to happen here, and God can make it happen here for us. But for sure, it will happen there. Amen? God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And one last thing I want to say tonight. You know, God has, the greatest promised land that God has for us is the spiritual promised land, heaven, eternity, with him forever and ever. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus died upon the cross so that that river, that overflowing river that separated us from God, could be crossed. All right, is that making sense? We have, by faith in Jesus Christ, we have crossed over from eternal death to eternal life. Eternal life is the spiritual promised land. And Jesus died 2,000 years ago so that by faith in him, we could cross over from death into life. That's the greatest promise that God has for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you taken a hold of eternal life? Have you taken a possession of that promise of eternal life? It only happens by faith in Jesus, by trust in Jesus. And so tonight I want to make this call. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord for the first time, you can do it tonight. If you never have, you can raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. If you've never accepted Jesus, there's not another moment to waste. Remember, the next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to step into eternity in the next hour, do you know that you would be with Jesus forever? Is this your first time making a decision for Jesus, sir? Awesome. He's wanting to rededicate. Okay, we'll get to that in just a sec. Is there anybody here for the first time wanting to recommit your life to Jesus Christ? Maybe you gave your life to Jesus at one time, but maybe you got upset with God, you got upset with somebody, and you've slipped away. But tonight you want to re-give your life back to Christ. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand, stand up. Anybody else want to follow their lead tonight? You're wanting to re-give your life to Jesus Christ because you know what? You can only inherit the promise of eternal life by faith in Jesus, by following Him on a daily basis. 1, 2, 3. Anybody else want to follow their lead here tonight? Anybody else? Sir, stand up. God is speaking to you by His Holy Spirit. Don't ignore what He's saying to you. The next hour is not guaranteed any one of us. Anybody else want to follow their lead? Anybody else? All right, those standing up, come forward tonight. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Doesn't matter what somebody next to you is thinking. It's only what God thinks about you that matters. It just is what it is. So God is speaking to you by His Holy Spirit. Come forward tonight. All right, those standing up here tonight, say this. Say, Dear Jesus, repeat this prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sins. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done some bad things, but tonight I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Jesus, I love you. Give me the strength to follow you all the days of my life here on this earth. I love you. I thank you that when I leave this earth, I'll meet you face to face in heaven. I love you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Welcome back to the family of God. Welcome back. The angels in heaven are rejoicing right now over your rededication tonight. Amen? There's certain things you have to do spiritually to remain close to Christ. You've got to be coming to these services. You've got to be getting into the Word of God, right? You've got to be finding good, strong, solid Christian friends. All right? You've got to be praying to God, communicating to God on a continual basis. You are in the hollow of God's hand. He loves you so much. God bless you. You can be seated. I'll call my brother up here tonight. What's your name again, sir?
Stephen,
come on up.
Thank you, Jonathan. Yeah. The round for Jonathan, please.